morning. Welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Michael Tolercio, pastoral intern of Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. I'm glad you're with us today. It's day 519 of our daily walk through the Bible, and we're looking at Acts chapter 22. Now, if you were with us a couple of days ago when we last looked at Acts 21, you might remember, if not, you just kind of look right up here, that Paul was about to begin a speech after he had been arrested at the temple in Jerusalem. He was about to address the people who had attacked him, and he had been rescued by the tribunal there. I forgot his name, Claudius Lysias, I believe, though I can't find it here. I believe that's his name. But he was rescued from this riot, from this mob that was attacking him, and he was just about to address them. And that's what we're going to read about today. Before we do, though, let's ask for the Lord's help as we look at his word. Father, thank you that you have given us another passage of scripture, another opportunity to be subdued by you in your love, in your goodness, in your sovereignty, in your power, in your mercy to us, in your provision. All of these things we get from you as we come before you in your word, and we are just grateful for the opportunity to do that now. Would you speak to us through it as we read Paul's words, as we read descriptions about what happened thereafter with Paul's address? Lord, we pray that you would refresh us with the gospel for Jesus' glory, whom it's all about. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, chapter 22 of Acts. This is Paul's speech. Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you. And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. And he said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him saying to me, Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Up to this word they listened to him. Then they raised their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. And as they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the tribune ordered him to be brought into the barracks, saying that he should be examined by flogging, to find out why they were shouting against him like this. But when they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, "Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned?" When the centurion heard this, he went to the tribune and said to him, "What are you about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen." So the tribune came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" And he said, "Yes." The tribune answered, "I bought this citizenship for a large sum." Paul said, "But I am a citizen by birth." So those who were about to examine him withdrew from him immediately, and the tribune also was afraid, for he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had bound him. But on the next day, desiring to know the real reason why he was being accused by the Jews, he unbound him and commanded the chief priests and all the council to meet. And he brought Paul down and set him before them.
Well, it seems that both chapter 21 and chapter 22 end on a bit of a cliffhanger. We're going to have to find out what happens with Paul's address in the next chapter when we come to it, in chapter 23. But our chapter for today is pretty full, if I may say so. And I think we see various glimpses of God's grace in Paul's address, starting with not even the content of the address, but the context of the address. Because if you remember, Paul was rescued out of that mob, from that riot that was occurring as he was being persecuted. And he's rescued out, and then it's after he's rescued that he asks if he can then address that crowd that just was stirred up against him. He willingly enters into a situation now where he's going to speak to these men who had just attacked him in chapter 21. And in that, we're seeing God's grace to allow these men to hear this testimony of Paul, this opportunity for them, really, to hear of this good news message of Jesus through Paul's words that they wouldn't hear, at least not in this clear way, all these men, not just the Jews, but also the Romans here, the tribunal, all these men are going to hear Paul speak because he is brave enough, he's courageous enough, he trusts the Lord enough to speak to men who are just trying to kill him. So that's just an example of God's grace in today's passage. We see another example of God's grace just in the content over and over again in this testimony that Paul provides. And what I'd like for us to just note here in the beginning here of the testimony is just that Paul doesn't try to doctor his story. He doesn't try to present himself as being better than he actually is. He doesn't cover up the warts, as we might say. He allows the reality of who he is to come forth in what he shares. He is a bad person. He was a very good person in one way, externally, according to the law of the Pharisees, the laws and the rules of the society that he was a part of. He was a very good person, but in reality, he was a very bad person. He was a murderer, in fact. And he presents his testimony fully. He displays even that about him. And God uses that, I think. Somehow these men that he's speaking to are willing to listen to him. They're willing to hear all that he says. And I think that's a helpful reminder for us. We're going to be tempted at times to change what we might say about us in order to seem a little better when we give our testimony, when we share about what God has done in our lives. We have to take Paul's example here to heart and remember we are actually, whenever we share our testimony, we are always the bad guy. Jesus is the good guy. We are the problem. Jesus is the solution. That's what a biblical, God-honoring, Pauline kind of testimony ought to be. It ought to be one in which we present ourselves as the one who needed salvation, not as the one who was clever enough or smart enough or with it enough to figure out or to happen upon the gospel. We are actually, like Paul, we are going against God's plan for humanity. We may not see it as clearly as we do when we look at Paul's testimony here, where he was actively killing Christians and he was there standing over Stephen as they were murdering him, watching over the garments of those who were shedding Stephen's blood. We may not do things externally like that, but in our hearts, we are going against the Lord and against his plan until he, if he is so gracious, calls us from death to life and rescues us out of the pit of our own sinfulness and our waywardness away from him. So we learn about God's grace even in the way that Paul testifies to his grace. Jesus is the solution. Jesus is the answer. And he saves people like us, bad people like us, even if we might think we're good. And even if we are doing good things on the outside, he saves people like us who would use those things that are good in and of themselves to try to feel better about ourselves, though in our hearts we've strayed from the Lord. God saves people like us. So let's declare that to people. Let's tell of that kind of grace to people when we share our testimonies. Let's share about this Jesus of Nazareth who would so kindly speak to Paul and ask him, "Who are you persecuting? Why are you persecuting me?" That's salvation right there. The God of glory being persecuted by Paul, his church being persecuted by Paul, but offering grace and forgiveness and repurposing for people like Paul, like us. Let's speak of that grace as we share with others. And then lastly, I think it would just be really helpful for us to keep in mind, or to see at least, and then keep in mind, that God orchestrates all things according to his plan. And that includes even where we are born. As with Paul here in the passage, he is protected from flogging, from torture, from death, from all sorts of evil things. He's protected because he is a Roman citizen, and a Roman citizen by birth, which even gives the tribune there further reason for pause, for fear, because he had to buy his citizenship. Paul was a Roman citizen by birth. And so there's protection with that, and it's God's grace to Paul. But it's worth noting that that protection, that form of grace to Paul, is temporary, because it's precisely because Paul has this, it's through this Roman citizenship that Paul has, and through this situation that Paul ends up in at the end of chapter 22, that he will go on from Jerusalem all the way, as we're going to read in the remaining chapters, all the way to Rome to testify to really all the known world in effect at that time, the cultural capital of the world, Rome. He would bring the gospel to that headquarters, to the center of the known world, because he's a Roman citizen, because he's protected here, because he is in a particular situation that God has orchestrated. He will be able to share the gospel with the nations in that way. So for us, we want to bear in mind that God is doing something that we might not be aware of. We might not like it, just like even in this passage, the Jews didn't like what Paul was sharing. He was sharing a message that was not only for the Jews, but for the Gentiles as well. Maybe you noticed that in verse 21. Jesus says to Paul, "Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles." And it's when they hear that the Jews who are listening in Jerusalem there, that they can't stand it. This idea that the gospel would be going sort of around the Jews to the Gentiles. Now, to be clear, the Jews are the ones that the 12 apostles were all Jews. They were the ones who carried this message from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth, Paul himself being a Jew. But the gospel is going forward to the nations, and sometimes we might not like God's plan, just like the Jews in this passage. They didn't like this plan that God had to bring this gospel message to the nations, though that had always been his plan, and as even testified very clearly back in Genesis 12, where God calls Abram and says that Abram, through Abram, all the nations of the earth, all the families of the earth would be blessed. It was always God's plan to bring the gospel, to bring news of his son, to bring forgiveness and salvation through Jesus to the ends of the earth. Sometimes we might not like it, like the Jews. Sometimes we might not be aware of how God is orchestrating things. But the call of this chapter, I think, is to sober up and to realize God is in control. We are not. We need to get on board with his plan. And if we think for just a moment, if we reflect for just a moment, if we take this passage seriously, we'll note that that God that is in charge is a kind and gracious God. He is a forgiving and merciful God. He's a loving God. So we ought to come to him in humility and gratitude, and we ought to speak of his glory and his son, God the Son. We ought to declare Jesus's love in the face of our persecution, our going against his will. We ought to recognize who God really is and the grace he has in store for those who would come to him and get in line with his plan for the world. I think it's fitting that we go to him now in prayer and reflect on that together. Let's pray. Father, you have been so gracious to give us this word that testifies to the work of your son in your servant Paul. You made him a servant. He was an enemy. You made us servants. We were enemies. And we pray that we would live in light of that, Lord. If we haven't ever come before you in repentance and faith, this is the first time we're hearing of this opportunity. We pray that you would not let us go, that you would seal us in now through coming before you, admitting that we are the problem, that your son Jesus is the answer, he's the solution. And if we have before, we pray we would be refreshed. We would have been refreshed by this testimony of Paul, really a testimony to your work, to your grace, and undeserving people like him, like us. And we pray that you would send us out now into the world to be agents of reconciliation, of love, of service to you in the gospel. In his name, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. I'm glad you could join us today for this look at Acts 22. Hope you'll be able to join us tomorrow as we begin a new book in Scripture, 1 Chronicles, starting with chapter 1. Until then, be blessed in the Lord Jesus.